Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to the 493rd episode of the Sales Podcast. I'm Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, your host. Today, we're getting into Amazon sales. We have Mr. Isaac Kuhlman on. He is an expert in this space. We peel this thing back, figure out who can do it, who can't. But regardless, there are some tips you can learn to grow your business, to create inbound sales, to see what is popping, to see how to leverage that to grow your own sales, whether or not you get into Amazon, which I am not. But I did sell some things on Amazon back in the day, and I still use it as an affiliate, which is nice. But we get into, you know, figuring out what's trending, how to use that for your own business. So you're in for a treat, as always. Apologize for a little bit of a delay here. Just got a lot going on. Working with a guy that's actually in my group, which I've renamed, rebranded. It is now Sell More of Everything. Yeah, baby. So go check that out. Sell More of Everything. And if you use promo code MARCH, you can save 30% off the membership, whether it's month to month or for the whole year. So check that out. SellMoreOfEverything.com. Working with Christian, he does transcription services. Got some cool software that has vastly improved the transcription. It's got a little follow-along, highlighting that goes along with the words. So if you're watching it or if you're listening to it online and reading the transcript, it follows along. So just some cool stuff. We've been integrating, adding some new processes to my own business and just really got caught up on things. Using Zapier and PySync a little bit more, just taking every little step, you know, trying to be a product of the product, trying to do what I teach. And it's hard sometimes, right? It's like the carpenter, you know, with the creaky door, the cobbler whose kids have no shoes. We tend to neglect our own stuff. And I had gotten into a little bit of a rut. So I peeled some things back on the podcast, assigning more tasks to my assistant, created some new zaps. And honestly, something's off on one of them. So we're testing that, how it pushes from Zoom when there's a recording to send the video to Vimeo. And then that assigns a task inside of Slack. So that's kind of working, but I think the timing's off on the Zoom. So we're testing that because the video has to render completely before we can push it and all this fun stuff. But hey, that's life in the big leagues, right? You've got to constantly be looking for areas you can improve because usually it's not this massive 10 or 50 or 100% or 5,000% growth, thing. It's improving in 10 areas of your business by 1 or 5 or 10%, and you get the compounded growth and that's how you hit the big numbers over time. And yes, of course you get the big breakthroughs, that put you to the next level, but the steady, consistent growth, staying ahead of your competition is by peeling things back, breaking things down, leaving no stone unturned. And it can be tricky doing it for yourself. You know, I can do for others in literally 1/10 the time what I can do for myself. It's just easier to see. And speaking of that, you know, I'm working with a guy and he's out of Texas. So we got a little bit delayed with the big freeze and he had some damage. But we're launching a promo together here by the end of March. So I've been working on that, working a couple of new consulting clients, one on the East Coast, one in Phoenix, doing a good bit of consulting, new projects. I've had another one since the fall up in Idaho, software as a service kind of thing. So a bunch of different entities, one's in the medical space, one's in software as a service, doing Well, I would say SEO, but it's not SEO. It's how to put it. You know, you've got these big changes coming in tracking, retargeting. Google's already jumping into it. Apple is way in front of it. And there's a lot of people losing their minds. I'm having a lot of conversations with folks, kind of getting back to basics, which I love. This one company has the legal technology to see who visits your site, get you full contact information on them. It's legal. It's available. It's only been available to the big guys. But I've taken an ownership stake in this. So we're rolling this out to the small and medium sized businesses at an affordable subscription. So that's in the works. Then working with the health sharing business out of Phoenix. So that's been cool. Met with them a couple times. And we just bought a truck. Big old Ford F-250 diesel leather Lariat Ultimate. Oh, heated seats in the front and the back. I'm going to spoil my kids. AC in the front seats. That was a must. I love air-conditioned seats. Can I get an amen? Oh, man. So just a lot going on. But, you know, the main thing was retooling, renaming the group. So sell more of everything, working with a new transcriptionist, working with a new process just to tighten things up and just got busy. So I've got quite a few in the queue. Got Isaac Coleman today, Mark Schaefer coming up, James Harper. I had a great talk with him. Henry Kaminsky Jr. I had a great talk with him. Oleg Campbell just spoke with last week, and it'll still be a few weeks before we get to him. But Ukrainian entrepreneur with a crazy good story. And I've got a good interview tomorrow coming up, but that'll be about a month before I release it. Working on a couple of books that I'm reading to bring to light. Oh, and I started a drawing class. So I've been working, putting some things in place for the Diary of a Wimpy Salesman. So that's been interesting. Been doing a lot more drawing. You probably didn't even know I did that. So stand by for info on that. And you know, I've written a daily blog post over at fromtodaysreading.com. I've done that for almost 4 years. Every single day, pulling out a something from today's reading. You know, in the Catholic Church, we have a mass every single day. We follow a 3-year cycle of reading the Bible. And basically, if you do everyday mass, I forget exactly, it'd be something like 80% of the Bible is read. So I've been doing that for almost 4 years. I've got literally thousands of pages of content there. And I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I wanted to publish it, and then I just kept going and going and going. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll do them. Go back to the beginning and just publish it that way. I could publish them as a series of, you know, 4 readings for each day. Do it by theme. I don't know. If you got any ideas on that, hit me up. Maybe we can partner on that because it's we can do a lot with it. So never a dull moment. And I've been having fun with cryptocurrencies with my boys. Had some nice gains with that the last several months. And going deeper into that, was just talking with my neighbor today. It's interesting how people, they don't understand something. So I was talking to my mother-in-law actually as well a couple nights ago at dinner. There's always something new. But, you know, look into those, look into NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Very interesting, exploding right now. It has business applications. Okay. So don't look at it just as digital art or Gronkowski trading his, you know, business cards or whatever, trading cards. Look beyond that because there's, these things are here to stay. And so look into that space if you're looking for something new, something exciting, something popping. All right. And, I'll do another intro, outro, for Mark because I'm heading to see my mama. Going back to Texas here this week for a few days, see her just before her birthday, and then, but I'll be back next Sunday. But you won't know as you listen to this. It's just all seamless unless I tell you. But I like telling you these things, all right? So let me finish this up. go downstairs and see what the kids are doing. I hear some Amazon Echo playing some music, so I got to go check that out. But let's bring on our guest, Isaac. Isaac Kuhlman, going to show us how to sell Mobetta on Amazon, all the way from Vegas. Welcome to the Sales Podcast, man. How the heck are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me, Wes. It's great to be here.
So do I really need to be on Amazon? You know, come on. I think it's a flash in the pan. I don't think they're going to be around very long. What do you think?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of ways to make money. Let's put it out, put it that way. But one of the ways that we've seen to be very successful with the least amount of probably working capital has been to create an Amazon business. And there's multiple different ways to do it. The way that we do it is through private label brands. And we see a high return on investment, high profitability. And, you know, the sky's the limit really for how you do that. So, I mean, you can go out and do any kind of business model you want. It just depends on how you allocate your money and how much work you want to put in. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not going anywhere. COVID showed us exactly how necessary Amazon is as a business model and as a company in itself. And, you know, third-party sellers make up more sales than Amazon does on its own platform.
Right. Are they like a necessary evil? You know, because I've heard, I was selling on Amazon. I was reselling a very hard to find sales book that I had access to way back in, I don't even know, man, 2008. And so it's like a love hate. That what I hated was they wouldn't give me the contacts info, right? I was doing the mailing. So I got their name and their physical address, but I had to create little bonuses, little incentives. I'd slip in the book to hopefully get them to go to my website and I could find out who they were. But I remember like, I just had a thank you email that like mentioned a URL, and man, back 2008, Amazon was slapping me. So, I mean, it's a, but like I said, are they a necessary evil?
Well, let me put it this way, because there's going to be a difference between what you as somebody who might want to be in, you know, what we call an internet marketer or to market via lists versus somebody who wants to create a business that will actually create income within the platform, right? So I don't want to say that you can't do both, because you can. And I won't say that one's better than the other, because you can make tons of money doing either. What we want people to focus on is trying to simplify the Amazon business model to where you work through Amazon's guidelines and you can make an income that you don't have a cap on. You can create an endless amount of money for yourself through their platform. In that sense, yeah, they have structure, they have rules, they have different things you can and can't do. And 100%, they can be a burden if you want to do some of these other things, like create an email list that, you know, then turns into a upsell list or whatever you want to use that for. But if you just focused on what are the high impact tasks for an Amazon business, we actually don't tell people to do any of that stuff, because you can work on Amazon and create everything. They've got their own ad strategies now. They've got, and actually this is just literally brand new. Like, it showed up like yesterday or the day before, where they're actually allowing you now to do promotional email campaigns, which they usually said, don't send emails. They're going to allow you to basically use your store as your own website. And they're going to allow you to do sales funnels to that store through their system. So this is something they're rolling out to brand owners now. And while they're keeping the information kind of on their side, they're allowing you to do everything you want to do. And they're trying to streamline and kind of put it all on their system, which for most people, that makes it easier, because then they don't have to go learn how to drive traffic to their website. They don't have to learn how to do, you know, promotional campaigns through an email list of their own and all that stuff. So they don't have to find ways to get their Amazon customers to that list. Their Amazon customers are now that list through Amazon. So there's some things rolling out, and everything kind of changes on Amazon. In 2008, I can tell you, I started selling in 2013, and that's 8 years ago. Even since then, things have drastically changed about what you can, can't do, what things they've put in there, what, you know, new tools you have available on the site, what brand protection you can have, all these other things. So they are working with third-party sellers. And my business partner, Kirsty, and I, we actually sat down with some people from Amazon about 3-4 years ago to have a conversation about how they can improve their platform. And lo and behold, now it's these many years later, and they're starting to actually put that stuff together. So it's not saying that we drove that, but we were just another voice that was telling them the same thing, that you need to kind of let this be kind of more accessible for third-party sellers. We're the ones kind of driving your platform these days. Your products don't pick up as much slack as we do. So let's make it easier, not harder. And so they kind of took that on board, and they've been making these changes. It's, you know, it's a massive company, so it's slow to roll out, but they're making these changes. And, you know, I think now it's much easier to actually work through their system than to try to go off Amazon and try to build all your own assets out.
Yeah. So who can or should have be on Amazon? I mean, do I need an Amazon store? You know, I mean, I sell my books on Amazon, but I mean, can I sell a digital sales training program on Amazon? And do I need my own storefront for that?
Most of the time, as far as I know, everything is a physical product. There are some services that have been equated to the physical products that have also reached through the Amazon. So like, for example, if you need a TV installed in your house, they'll have like a service company come to your house, and that company is linked to that sale. But I haven't seen anything like, you know, digital training course or anything like that. However, they do have like referral programs. If you need like, how to track your rankings, they've got referral companies that actually do those tools. If you need help with your taxes, they have referral companies. So there are things like that where you can connect through the Amazon platform to do that, but you're not selling anything on amazon.com per se. You're selling to the sellers who are on amazon.com and selling, or Amazon UK or whatever. But for most people, it's physical products or digital versions of that same thing, right? So like a book, but like an audio book or something like that. So digital media or physical products. We mostly are talking about, when I say private label brands, physical products, branded physical products. And, you know, we specifically think that, you know, there's great margins in things that have function versus fashion, meaning if you buy something and it just works, that's going to be a much better, much easier product to sell, or brand of products, than say, you know, something that looks good, but only a certain amount of people think that it looks good. So if you're saying, hey, you know, I sell this t-shirt that says "have a great day" on it, but only a certain amount of people want to buy "have a great day," some people will be like, F you or whatever. That's the shirt they want to buy. So there's opposing, it's the same t-shirt, same function, but because it has fashion involved, you're not going to attract the same people. So we try to think about more things that have functionality versus fashion. Some of them have like a fashion twist, but that's the kind of products we're talking about. And that's the kind of businesses we'd be helping people set up and run.
So, like, as a sales trainer and CRM guy, I mean, what would I sell? Or should I just, like, I don't know, I've got an interest in like knives or interest in jujitsu. Mm-hmm. I mean, should I make a jujitsu store, you know, and because it's more tangible versus, because just reselling or recommending somebody else's, I mean, once you buy my book, okay, well, what else? Well, there's 1,000 other sales books I could be selling. Is that even viable as like a referral partner?
Yeah. So for example, like with people who are doing, you know, training or books or whatever, we've worked with people, and I've actually partnered with people in the past who were essentially internet marketers. And what they did was they said, okay, I want to test my audience to physical products and just see if that's something that can work. So essentially what they'll do is they'll say, what am I interested, or what is my audience interested in? And they'll tie something to that. So for example, say Wes, you've built up a list that, yeah, they're sales entrepreneurs, but they're kind of drawn to you because you have kind of a, you know, military or jiu-jitsu, or you kind of have like this, you know, different kind of like athletic or fit kind of attitude. And you say, okay, look, you know what? I'm going to do a health and wellness line on Amazon, because I know entrepreneurs actually want to do something like that. They're always looking to stay fit or to stay active. And at least my audience is, anyway. And that's kind of where we're going. So you might say, hey, you know, you do like certain actual exercise, products on Amazon. You might have recovery products. You might have pre-training products. Cause really with everything, there's kind of three stages of using a product. There's before using it, during using it, and after using it. And even anything that you can think of, pretty much that's the case. So you're really kind of thinking about, would that be something that I want to do? Right. So, you know, a lot of people can go out and sell, you know, I shouldn't say a lot of people can go out and sell books. I mean, a lot of people can go out and write a book. That doesn't mean they're going to sell it very well or be very good at it. They can write a book, they can put it on Amazon and hope that somebody comes to it. But you're kind of stuck to that. You know, you have to have the following to drive the traffic to Amazon to get there. They're not just going to put you on the number one bestseller list just because you wrote a book, right? So with Amazon products, it's a little different because you can drive a lot of that visibility using their ad system, using some of these services out there that help you get visibility, and you can drive that. Books, it's not quite as easy because they kind of put a lot of restrictions on what you can do with your books anyway. But yeah, so you can do that with physical products and you can actually drive your visibility and use that platform to kind of make this launch process really easy and kind of systematic. So yeah, if you're like, hey, you know, maybe there's not a lot of things that you can use during jiu-jitsu, but you know, how do you get stretched for jiu-jitsu properly? How do you get, you know, recover from jiu-jitsu properly? You know, so you got products around that perhaps, or, you know, whatever you might do. But yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you'd usually go by a passion that you're good at, you know about, and then you kind of pick the products and the brand and develop it from there.
So would I need to like white label my own stuff or just be a reseller?
So we talk about, yeah, white labeling is essentially what we call private labeling. Basically the same concept of, you know, you take, you know, calf stretcher, for example, you got, you know, thing that you might roll your calves out or stretch your calves out. That might be your product, right? So it'd be, you know, Wes's BJJ is like the brand name, right? So it'd be Wes's BJJ calf stretcher. And that would be the brand. That would be the messaging. You know, the audience better than the next guy, because you know exactly why they're using it for this particular instance. And you got to get your marketing messaging right. You got to get your branding right. You got to get your, you know, images right, all that kind of stuff. Because on Amazon, unlike most other communications and sales forms, you know, when you write an email, it's, you have the ability to write like a very detailed email. You can touch on pain points, how you can solve their problems, and you can be salesy in that way, right? On Amazon, you can't do that because all you've got is a listing, and you just have to make that listing better than the rest of the listing. You have some structure around it. You have limitations on what you can put in there and how many words you can say. So you have to know your ideal client very, very well. And I'd say that's probably the one thing that if, you know, even for your guys's who listen to this podcast versus, you know, anybody who's already selling on Amazon, when you go to sales, sales kind of go across everything, right? But the really good thing is with Amazon is you get really good at knowing what your customer wants before they say it. Like in an email, you can say, hey, just respond to this and let me know what your biggest issues are. And then you can go back and forth, right? And find a way to fill in the gaps. Whereas on Amazon, you just have to pre-know exactly what they're looking for. So you get really good at this, knowing your ideal client and understanding their problems, their benefits, and understanding how you can help them solve that with the products.
Interesting. So, okay, let's say I want this calf stretcher.
Yep. By the way, I have no idea if that's like a real thing. I'm just assuming it is.
I don't know. I need a hamstring stretcher. So let's say we're getting a hamstring stretcher.
Okay.
Not a hamster stretcher. So do I have to go buy 1,000 of them and store this big container and take over my garage and move my cars out and get a divorce attorney because my wife's mad at me? How do I get this sales whisperer hamstring stretcher at a reasonable price with my fancy logo on it?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously what we try to do is we definitely get our products sourced from, you know, usually Southeast Asia, China, Vietnam, Korea, Taiwan, something like that. They manufacture things very easily there. They have a very good system there. You can absolutely get them sourced anywhere, and depends on your products. Some products you're going to source in Western countries like United States, Canada, Mexico, UK even. But for the majority of consumer goods, I mean, you look around, everything is like you touch pretty much is made in China. So that's where the easiest manufacturing is. Now, do you need to order 1,000? It depends on the product. It depends on what you're selling. It depends on demand. It depends on what your goals are. But essentially, our goal is to be visible on page one for main keywords for each product. So for hamstring stretcher, if that's what you're selling, you want to be on page one of hamstring stretcher. So what you got to do is do some research there, see what the current demand is, see what the current volumes are and competition level. And then we basically put together a spreadsheet that you put in some you input some data through it, and it'll tell you how many you have to launch, like how many units you have to order to actually launch this properly and be successful. Essentially how much you're going to make, how much profit, ROI, you know, even after ads, we can help estimate your ad costs and how much money you're going to make each month in income versus just how much money the product will make. And we put this all together so that way you can understand how to order the product before it's ever even purchased. Before you place an order with your supplier, you know how much money you're going to get. So we put all this together. You know, some products might take 800, some products might take 2,700, some products might take 5,000, and then it's based on your budget, right? But the idea here is that we're not sending it all to our house and saying, hey, this is what we got to do. We got to fulfill these orders ourselves. Amazon actually has a system where you just pretty much can send the goods straight into Amazon. Now, right now they have, sorry, there's dogs barking there.
Oh, good.
Right kids, now they actually have
kids
some,
barking, dogs yeah. talking. It's all, you know.
So they have this like a COVID restriction basically right now for new products that you can only send in a couple hundred, but that's temporary. We expect that to be lifted. But ideally, basically you can send it straight into your, to Amazon. You might have to get like a third person logistics company. So a 3PL, that can hold it for a little while you grow your inventory limit. But basically, yeah, our biggest thing is we're not trying to do the work ourselves. We want to be as hands-off as possible. We just want to make sure that we inspect our stuff, make sure it's good quality, make sure we know exactly what we're doing, why we're selling this, who we're selling it to, and then just get it into Amazon's ecosystem and just let that work itself out. So we don't want to be, you know, people working from our garage. That's not our goal. We want to be entrepreneurs that make money while we sleep. And that's the best thing that Amazon can do. You know, Warren Buffett said, if you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, you work until you die. And that was one thing that when I heard that, I was like, yeah, because, you know, you're trading time for money no matter what you do, except for if things are happening when you're not even doing it, right? So on Amazon, you'll get sales all throughout the day, whether you're at your computer or not, whether you're thinking about it or not. And that's, you know, people say it's like passive income, but there's no such thing to me as passive income unless you're doing investments. Even that, you'd require yourself to look into things, keep up with it. So yeah, it can grow on its own and make you money on its own, but you still have to work. The Amazon business itself does require work. So it's not a get rich quick scheme. It's not one of these passive income strategies. It is an investment business. Just like if you opened a restaurant, you have to do the work, but you just have to, like, unlike a restaurant where you have to stay open all the time, or you'd actually have to then go in and work there. Amazon, you can sell all the time, all through the day, no matter the holidays or whatever, and it'll keep selling. And you can do that in multiple marketplaces now as well.
Right. So man, I'm glad you mentioned that, because everybody's looking for this, the quick fix, the silver bullet. It's like, you know, regardless, this is going to take thousands of dollars and some time, right? I mean, yep. If I can order 1,000 hamstring stretchers for just $5, I mean, that's $5,000 just yep. right there. Plus the lead time, plus the development, plus the marketing and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this could take months to launch, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we want everybody to make sure that they have clear expectations, because there are people out there that say you can start with $500 and make a $1 million business. And I would say the chances of you doing that is like winning the lottery. I mean, it's not very common. You need to have capital investment. You know, we say, you know, 10, 15,000 is ideal. You can do with more, you can do with a little bit less, but it's just like any business model, but you need a lot less. For example, if you were starting a real estate company and you just decided, hey, I'm going to need $200,000 to start buying homes and flipping them, that's a lot more money, right? You want to start a McDonald's franchise, you need $2-3 million. You want to open your own restaurant, you're probably going to need $250,000. These are different strategies out there to make businesses, but Amazon, it's, you know, a fraction of that, and you can get started pretty quickly because you don't have to go through like full business training. But we, you know, we would say go through some sort of training and get some mentorship on this, because you want to find people who can help you out when you're getting stuck. And that's a key problem that most people don't understand, is that they think they can watch some stuff on YouTube, go out there, spend $5,000 or $3,000, put it on Amazon, and it's going to work. You might get some sales, but you're not going to get, you know, an income that you can rely on, and you're not going to do this thing very successfully unless you know kind of all the strategies that you need to put into place.
It's a joke we always make in jiu-jitsu. It's like, you better watch out, man. I've been watching YouTube videos this weekend. I'm yep. dangerous.
Yeah. Or a YouTube black belt.
Let's see how this works out. I know Mike Tyson, right? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Exactly.
So like how do people get started? Like, I've never made a physical product. I mean, I would love to make, even you mentioned supplements. I'm almost 51, man. I'm testing everything. Cause like, I'm sore. It's longer to recover. It's like, welcome to middle age.
Yeah.
And so if I found like a great, what am I looking for? Prescription, right? Great.
Formula or something.
formula. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to resell it, but I've literally never done any of that. How does somebody even get started?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't look a day over 35, first of all. So you're looking pretty good for
dude, your episode is going right. I'm canceling everybody. We're publishing tomorrow. All right. And I'm quoting you.
Yeah. So I think the idea here is, say like a supplement, for example, there's going to be certain differences between that and a physical product. Like I sell an ice scraper, for example. I get the ice scraper. It's a plastic mold. Like I sell that thing. It does great in the winter. It doesn't do so well in the summer. I know this. It's a seasonal product. A supplement, it's going to have a little bit more strict rules around it because it is ingested, right? So for us, what we would say is like, you can literally Google search on Amazon, on Google, you type in private label suppliers, you know, joint supplements or something like that. And you'll get a handful or a couple pages of results of people that manufacture this stuff. And I've sold supplements myself in the past and I have a handful of contacts there. So then you go to them and you kind of say, here's what I'm looking for. Here's the kinds of thing I need in order to sell this on Amazon. And ideally you'd sell something that currently exists, not like some brand new thing that people aren't looking for, because that's how Amazon sales are created. Is like, if you said, hey, I'm going to create, you know, a big toe formula that only helps the big toe from recovering, people are like, I don't think anybody's looking for a big toe formula, right? It's like overall joint support or knee support or ankle support, something that's more common, I would think. So people, whatever they're typing in, that's what the kind of thing you're looking to sell. You might just create a better version of it, or, you know, a slightly different formula. Maybe it doesn't have any, you know, inactive ingredients, or doesn't have any fillers or whatever. No, or not, it's all organic. And you just say that to your suppliers and you say, okay, give me a quote on this. They'd come back with a quote. You'd say, here's how many I need in order to get started based on what we tell you to put in the spreadsheet and how much you need to launch based on the volume and the demand and the competition out there. And then that's how many order you may, maybe it's 2000 and your quote is like 350. So you're looking at $7,000 in cost of goods. The good thing is with those products, different than, you know, ones that you get from China, is you don't have to ship them across the sea. So your freight cost is a lot cheaper. Your lead times are a lot faster as well. So supplements, a lot of people do go into supplements because they're kind of like, they think that that's the easy way to do it because they don't have to work from another country. The difference is because so many people do that, supplements tend to be very competitive on Amazon and you need to be really, really good and have deep pockets. So we always tell people, look, you can sell anything on Amazon you want and you can do it successfully. You just have to have the money to do it because you can get there. And you know, obviously it might take a little bit longer to get there for like a page one of a supplement, but if you have $100,000, it's going to be a lot easier and you're going to be a lot more, give yourself a better chance than somebody who's starting with $5,000 mm-hmm. on supplements. Other products out there, they're not so competitive. So we say, hey, look, if you're in this niche, for example, maybe health and wellness, but it's not supplements, you go out there and find products, hamstring stretcher, big toe stretcher, whatever it is. These ones might not be so competitive as a supplement, for example.
Right. How does Amazon know that the stuff is safe? I mean, I'm not just packaging up poison, you know, yeah. expired stuff. I mean, yeah.
I will tell you that Amazon doesn't entirely know. They do require their sellers to have certain things. Now, do they check it? Do they enforce it? Not really. Like they say, you're supposed to have, I think it's like $250,000 product liability insurance for your products. I've never seen them email me and ask me for that. I've never been told to provide any proof for that. There's a lot of people out there that will sell counterfeit products of what they say is the same thing, but it's completely not, doesn't have the same packaging, doesn't even look the same, might not be the same color. And people do that. The kind of thing that runs itself, like it kind of moderates itself in a sense that customers immediately start knowing that it's bad product. Right. And that supplier or that seller gets shut down pretty quickly once they're found out. Does that mean they can't make some money in the meantime? Potentially. But Amazon does hold their funds until they kind of confirm that they're selling properly. So for your first couple of months and first couple of weeks, you won't see a disbursement unless like you've made a lot of money. You might see a little bit. But in the end, if you don't like essentially sell properly, they'll actually take that money and reimburse all the customers, or they'll actually put it back into the Amazon ecosystem somehow, but they won't actually pay you for it. So there are things built into the system that kind of stop people, but there's nothing, I wouldn't say any inspection process to see what's good and what's bad. And maybe they don't even know the difference. And, you know, if you don't know, there's like actual robots at these factories, at these warehouses, actually stocking shelves a lot of time. So they're not obviously looking at what products are being put into the shelves and what's not. Only the human beings that kind of pull things out of boxes would know that, but they don't know what's, you know, they don't know the active ingredients in these things or anything like that. So it really comes down to, you know, withholding money, I think, is the biggest key factor for Amazon to stop that kind of selling.
Yeah. What's the protection against getting ripped off? You know, I buy this one ghee called Origin, because this guy, he was making ghees and he went overseas because they're all made in Pakistan, I guess. Mm-hmm. And his manufacturer stole his design, right? He literally saw his design with another patch on it at a tournament. He's like, dude, where'd you get that? And I've heard of, you know, some bad stories. You know, Amazon sees a popular seller. So, hamstring stretchers. All right, we'll make our own Amazon branded.
Yeah.
Hamstring stretchers. I mean, does that happen?
It does happen. Amazon, what I'll say is Amazon doesn't even do a very good job of selling their own products. You can outsell them quite easily. I mean, they call their stuff like Amazon Basics, for example. Like, that's not a very good brand name, in my opinion, because people don't want the basic version of something. They want the best version of something, the best value. So for a lot of people, you know, they're going to buy a brand that's trusted, that has good reviews, that has a good marketing message, that has decent looking packaging, a good logo, that kind of stuff, because it seems trustworthy. And that's just how we've been kind of brought up in this American capitalistic country of, you know, this is how you do it. You know, people go to the store, they buy Advil, they don't buy the generic ibuprofen as much. Sure, people do. People that are, you know, savvy enough to understand that they have the same ingredient and they're going to work exactly the same. But in the end, people trust Advil because it's been around for 60 plus years or however long it's been around. And they know that it works. Their mom used it or their dad used it. And they've used it since they were a kid. Tylenol, the same thing, right? It's the same concept. Now, the difference here is you're not building, or you don't have the consistent global trust that brands like those have. The difference is that you're being put right next to them in Amazon, and you can compete on price. You can compete with your messaging, your reviews. And so as long as you look as good or better than some of these big name brands, you can sell equally as well or better than any brand on Amazon. And as far as the brand protection stuff, you can patent stuff and you can get trademark designs. And yeah, your factory can be a piece of crap like that sometimes. There's not a lot of legal ways to get your rights protected in another country. You can do it. There are ways to do it. It's a little bit more costly, a lot of admin work. But for example, if you want to, you know, make sure that your Chinese factory or your Pakistani factory is doing the right thing by you, you can get a lawyer to draw up a contract in both languages and make sure that this is done properly. We don't necessarily say that you have to do that. Absolutely. If you're putting in a lot of money and that investment is a big deal to you, then you can do that. We just tend to work with pretty good reputable sources. Now, Alibaba has a website that you can find a lot of these factories on it. I actually don't use Alibaba. I actually work with a sourcing agent who's in China, and I let her use her common sense a lot to find good factories. And if she's seen, you know, she's pretty good at smelling BS. And when you get people that work with you like that, you don't have to worry about this as much, because, you know, when they say something like, oh yeah, it's going to take a couple extra weeks to find the material, you're like, well, that doesn't sound like a factory that knows what the hell's going on. If you can't even find the material, like, you just said you could get this in 15 days. And now you've said it's going to take 2 weeks to get the material. You know, these are kind of like red flags that go up. So yeah, we work with people on the ground there that kind of can fish out these scams. And there's not as many in China, because China is kind of a strict country, to be honest with you. And if they start, you know, being seen as a fraudulent country, and this is kind of a big deal for India, they've had that issue in the past. Like, PayPal wouldn't be in India. A lot of other companies wouldn't go to India because they had like all these scam artists and these call centers running scams out of there. If China had that issue, they would know that, you know, they're not going to be able to be the global manufacturing leader anymore, because people would be scared to do this. So China's government even cracks down on this stuff and basically will give them the full penalty of the law. And that, I don't know if that means they disappear or what happens, but yeah, you just know that they're going to try their best in a lot of the scenarios. And, you know, they do have kind of mediation systems within certain websites. If you want to go through them, like Alibaba, you can actually put in trade assurance, I think is called. So if you give them money, you kind of give them money based on them reaching milestones. And Alibaba, you know, you can dispute it if Alibaba, you know, if you say, hey, they didn't do what they're supposed to do, you can get that money back. So there are some safeguards out there. But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is that the fact that you would think, you know, if you even think that before you go into it, it's helpful to kind of establish some sort of ground rules with suppliers and stuff. And that's kind of what the sourcing agent does very well.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any pushback from using overseas vendors, you know, with COVID? Because I've seen articles talking about like racism and attacks against Asian Americans, whatever is up since COVID. And then others are like, yo, buy American and blah, blah, blah. And people always say that, but then they're like, oh, wow, I can buy American for $25 or I can buy this overseas product for $7. Yeah, I'm not so patriotic all of a sudden. I mean,
you hit the nail on the head. I call it, they're patriotic until it comes to their wallet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be great if, you know, companies could manufacture at a reasonable manufacturing cost here in the United States. If you could even contact suppliers in an easy way, if there was any sort of system for us to actually manufacture stuff in a global way, like China does, 100%. I'd say, look to source in the United States, look to sell in the United States. I've tried myself. I asked a couple of companies to find me ways to get a plastic ice scraper, high quality with a foam handle and built kind of like the one I have, or even exactly like the one I have. The one I get in China is 72 cents. The one that I got quoted was $7 in the United States. Mm. And I was like, I can't sell that. That's my selling price. So you're telling me I have to sell, or I have to buy it from you at my selling price, essentially. So there was just this, it's not even possible. And if I went out and tried to sell like literally an ice scraper that's, you know, 7 or 8 inches for $20, I would never get a sale.
Right.
So that's it's patriotic with until it comes to your wallet is kind of the idea that is kind of prevalent ongoing concept for sales on any website. The good thing about Amazon and the difference between that and a retail store though, is that you're not paying a third party necessarily. So, you know, you don't have to sell it to Walmart. You don't have to sell it to Target where they're going to take their cut and then they're going to increase the price again. You actually are the manufacturer and you get to sell it directly to the consumer. So that is a big difference between what we do and what, you know, retail stores do. Retail stores are kind of, they're buying it from two or three extra people. And so they have to jack up the price. So my ice scraper at Target, unless they got some really, really, really good deal, is probably going to be like $12 or $9.99, where I can sell it on Amazon for a couple dollars less because it's direct to consumer. Got to pay some commission to Amazon, but it's not nearly like what you would pay through all these other middlemen and driving the price up through a retail store. So that's where, you know, a lot of people say, you know, prices are cheaper on Amazon. They're not for global brands like Tide, because people are just reselling that stuff and trying to get a profit, but they are for, you know, essentially private label brands like what we do, because we can go direct to the supplier, get the exact same quality stuff, put our brand on it and sell it directly on Amazon for a lot less.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been an Amazon affiliate forever, primarily like books. I have an author on whatever. I'll link to their Amazon book. But I don't make anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that just not a very viable way, or do you just need like a mega list to make that work to any meaningful amount?
There is ways to do it. People have done it and done it pretty successfully. I'd say it's not as common and it's not as easy. And I know like selling physical products sounds like it's complicated, and it is, but building a list of consumers who then are driven to a site that then goes to Amazon and you become an Amazon affiliate, it's a big endeavor, and it's basically an entire learning system and its own kind of, you know, microcosm of a world itself. So yeah, you can do it that way. And there are websites out there like that actually do this, where you can just link, hey, you know, a lot of ways that they do it, they'll be like the 10 best versions of something for 2021. So they'll write an article for that. They'll have 10 products on there. They'll write it. And then those things will actually be the things that they shop for and get affiliate commissions for on Amazon. I've had people contact me about, you know, hey, we put you on our top 10 of this thing for the year. Make sure to share it with people. So they're just trying to drive their affiliate commissions, right? And those strategies can work. And if you do enough of them, you know, you can make some money. It's a lot of work. You have to be kind of creative with that stuff. You know, especially with like article writing, if you're not a writer, you're probably going to struggle with that. If you don't write good copy, you're not going to be very good with affiliate, because that is, the core of affiliate stuff is writing good copy to drive sales, right? So there's ways to do that for sure. And, you know, it's a different strategy, but again, Amazon's built this kind of sales and buy purchasing, you know, entire world that, you know, there's, you might think of it like big fish, little fish, you know, krill at the bottom. There's like, there's different ways to survive in it and make a living. And there's just different methods, and everybody's got their own way. Wholesaling is another one. Arbitrage is another one. Lots of different things out there. And, you know, services, again, like everything kind of revolves around it. And if you find the right thing that you want to do, then yeah. But, you know, for us, we found that the thing that's systematic and scalable is building private label brands on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. So who do you help? Like brand new people to get started, existing people get optimized, both?
Yeah. So we actually, when we first started, we were actually working specifically with people that currently had businesses, helping them scale and grow and get to where they wanted to go. Over the years, we've built out, you know, some training to help people get started. Our core thing is, no matter if you're brand new to Amazon or if you're making $1 million on Amazon or beyond, you're going to have issues getting to where you want to go. And we know exactly where you're at because we've done it. We know exactly how to get you to the next step and how to get you to your result. So if your result is, I want to get my first product launched on Amazon, I want to make $5,000 in sales a month off of it, we'll help you get there. If your current business is doing $50,000 a month on Amazon, but you're not making much profit and you want to take an income, we'll help you find out how to do that. Maybe your products just don't get you profit, or maybe you've run your ads way too, you know, blown your ads way out and you're not spending what you should on them. We'll help you figure that out. We'll also help you scale. We've had people, literally, like one guy was doing $125,000 a month in sales, doing pretty well. He was paying himself a 10-figure income every month. So $10,000 every single, sorry, not 10-figure, five-figure income.
Sign me up.
$10,000 a month in income, which is pretty good living. And he was like, okay, I don't know how to scale this thing, because he only had like four products. But we were like, okay, well, your conversion rates on your products are terrible. They're like 10%. If we can just get them to 20%, that doubles your business. And sure enough, on his top selling product, his conversion rates doubled. They went from like 11 to 22. And he ended up going from 125 to about $230,000 the very next month. So these are things that can be kind of done. And, you know, when that kind of explosion happens, those are things that you can take and you can implement them on every product. And then you can build and scale more products and more marketplaces, go to the UK, go to Canada, wherever, and build those out and build an actual global empire kind of thing. And there's actually people out there. Thrasio is one of these companies. There's a couple, few other ones, Empire Flippers, that buy and sell Amazon businesses, brands just like ours. So if you get to a point where you're like, hey, I'm making, you know, $2 million in sales a year, my earnings are $600,000, you could potentially sell your business for $1.5 million and walk away and do whatever you want with that money, right? Because we always say, look, I'm not going to sell on Amazon for the rest of my life. It's a thing that I'm doing now to help leverage to get to maybe another thing. Nobody wants to just keep selling on Amazon. It's so you have to have an exit strategy, whether it's sell your business. A lot of people say, oh, well, I'm going to build this legacy for my kids and they're going to take it over. Might want to ask your kids that, because they might have no intention on wanting to build this business and don't care whether they're on Amazon or not. So whatever it is, you should have an exit strategy for any business you're in. I don't care if it's internet marketing, if it's, you know, building or running your own restaurant. At some point you'll want to stop. So understand how you build to a point where you can get out of that thing at maximum valuation as well. And that's another way that we help people.
Yeah. Cool. So you've got a website, goteamreal.com. Is that right?
Yep. All right. On the website, we got some free training. We got podcasts. We've got, you know, blogs, got some really cool free information there. You can check it out. If you're interested in learning about selling on Amazon, definitely check it out. There's some really good business concepts within this. We just apply it to Amazon. So even if you just want to understand, hey, maybe I can just pick up some things and apply it to my own business, absolutely, you can check it out. You know, but really what we are looking for is people who are getting serious about wanting to start their own brand or think that it's a good opportunity. You can check out why, you can see kind of how it works and what it takes. And there's no pressure to ever work with us. There's no pressure to ever start an Amazon business. But if that's something that interests you, feel free to check it out and go to goteamreal.com.
Yep. So I'm looking here. I mean, you've worked with over 1,000 business owners, right? Or yep. Amazon owners. got some real. I love that you have real people. You have pictures and their full name, not like Chris S. You know, it's real people, real results. So that's real cool, man.
Yeah, and we have videos from people. I mean, the one thing I will tell people is find people who help you all along the journey, because what we don't want is you to pay us money, then you go through some training and then disappear. We want you to come back to us and ask us questions, because we work with you forever. Through our programs, we work with you forever. So we want you to continuously ask us questions and you know, use us to leverage us to get you to the result, because we're a results-driven business. If we didn't get results for our clients, we couldn't talk to you today, Wes. We couldn't go help other people. We wouldn't be where we are, because we need our customers and our clients to get where they want to go. Otherwise, what's the point of us being here, right? We're coaches. We're not a training program. Like if we just put videos on YouTube or, you know, put a training course out and said, here, go watch these, there's not a very high success rate there, because most people will watch it and never implement it. We're actually working physically with people, you know, just like Phil Jackson tells Michael Jordan, hey, you got to pass the ball to Scotty when he's open. You got to hit John Paxson in the corner when you get a three, you know, get triple team. These are people telling the best at their position in the world. Michael Jordan doesn't have to listen to Phil Jackson, but he did. And guess what? Then he won six championships, right? Tiger Woods had Hank Haney, Butch Harmon, all these guys helping him with his swing. Why would the greatest golfer of all time need somebody help to like look at his swing and fix it or you know, do anything? This is how businesses and anything that you want to optimize works. You need somebody outside looking at what you're doing and telling you how to fix it along the way. And that's the difference between what we do and what a training course can do. They won't tell you what you're doing and how you're doing it wrong. We will.
Very cool. I like what I'm seeing here, and show some other podcasts you've been on. I'm clicking around. So, man, this is cool. It's not a silver bullet, but it is a bullet that can put in the gun, at least, you know, multiple streams of income. You know, and if you've been dabbling, I always tell people, you know, be a fanatic about something, you know, focus, go deep.
Yep.
You know, and yeah, it may cost several thousand dollars, but it doesn't cost tens of thousands of dollars. You don't have to get a second mortgage.
Yeah.
Jeopardize your family's ability to live, to work with you and see if this is a viable tool, you know, to add to your, you know, a pillar, right, to your business and your income. So,
And for people that have physical stores, you know, I mean, obviously you can sell on Amazon and see if that's the way you want to go. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can build. And just like you said, there's nothing wrong with creating multiple pillars of income for yourself, so that way you have a better foundation.
Yeah, because you could live in a little tiny town, right? But if you got a great product, advertise on Amazon and go ahead and ship, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason to, you're no longer limited by who can drive to your place of business.
Exactly.
Get the word out. So very cool. All right. Isaac, goteamreal.com. Thanks for coming on the show, man. It's been great.
Thanks for having me.
All right, dude. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
You can outsell Amazon on their own products, because who wants Amazon basics? There's a good lesson right there. That one little nugget, right? You can compete with the big guys with better marketing and branding. People trust the people branding. People trust the better branding, which you can create. Sales and marketing, baby. I always say people don't do business with you for one of two reasons. Either they haven't heard of you or they have. Okay, if it's the latter, then you got bigger problems. But usually it's because they haven't heard of you. Get the word out. Okay, don't be afraid to toot your own horn, because if you don't toot your own horn, there is no music. So, you know, like the way in general, right? You've got to source your products affordably, whatever it is that you do. Private labeling, you know, hey, start with your passion. So, a lot of good tips there, you know, and I brought up some of the objections, some of the concerns, but regardless, peel it back, look at it, you know, take the lessons that you can from it, apply it, and then move on. But I hope you liked this, you know, straight shooting guy, a great conversation. Those are the kind of people I like to have on. So if you know of some good folks, you know, I'm about a month ahead, so being more and more selective. As I approach the 8-year anniversary this summer. But if you know some great people, great story, great tips and advice, hit me up, you know, have them reach out and be glad to consider them. You know, make sure you are subscribed so this can pop right into your smartphone. I'm on Spotify, Stitcher, all these cool places. Actually, I got a new cool logo, another thing we worked on. So Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, TuneIn. I'm everywhere, all right? So tune in, listen. If you got a minute, give me a review. It's always a great thing. Share it. And like I mentioned, if you're ready for some great training, sellmoreofeverything.com. Use promo code MARCH. Get 30% off on this rebranding, repackaging. But it's still weekly calls, 41 videos on demand, workbook, private group. You can ask questions at any time. And I will help you sell more of everything. I guarantee. Thanks for listening. Now go sell something.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.